Hey, thank you to Austin Bible Church for your prayers. We do not take them lightly. We know that this is a praying church, and we want you to know that the Father has been pleased to answer your prayers because we're here, and we have been greatly blessed, and I just want to thank you for holding us up. And we thank you also for your faithful support. It's because of the grace of God that we're able to do what we do. The Lord has provided us with spiritual gifts. He's provided us with the health and strength to be able to continue ministry, even though we're older than most on the mission field. And but also he has provided through his people the material things necessary for us to be able to carry on the work. And we're grateful for your part. And we take our association with you very seriously. And Austin Bible Church is being represented in many places. And we have that privilege of just being an extension of your ministry here. And so we are truly blessed to be a part of your ministry. So I've been asked to give a missionary report, and it's always dangerous to ask missionaries to show pictures because we've got thousands and thousands. I truly have been blessed. I've been a Christian for more than 70 years, and I've been preaching the gospel for more than 60 years. So we truly have been blessed. And it's hard sometimes to know just what we're going to present when we come to a church. So I promise, Bob, I'm have you out of here by 2. So just sit back and relax and try to give you an overview of what we do and where we've been and how the Lord has really opened to us so many different avenues. This is to kind of get us oriented. Americans often are geographically challenged, and so this is Europe, and down here is the Black Sea. This is Ukraine. Ukraine is the largest country in Europe. It's about the size of Texas, just a little bit smaller. These other countries are really quite a bit smaller. Some of them are really tiny. We don't recognize that. Of course, up here is Russia. Russia covers much of Europe and Asia, but it's not entirely in Europe. So to get you oriented, this is Ukraine. Over here on the eastern side is where all of the fighting has been going on. The war actually began in 2014 when Russia invaded and they took control of several cities over here in the east. And between 2014, 2022, there were some 30,000 Ukrainians who were killed in the conflict. Of course, that didn't get reported here in America. But the majority of the conflict today is over here in the eastern part of the country. Down here is what is called the Crimea. And they have very important naval bases on the Black Sea here. Russia needs a warm water port. What they have up in the north, it freezes over in the wintertime, so they need warm water ports, and so that's why the Crimea is important to them. But they, for whatever reason, decided that they were going to wage war against Ukraine. There's been a long conflict between Russia and Ukraine. I'm centuries old. This is not something new. For a long, long time, the Russians have tried to eliminate the Ukrainian language. They have not been successful in doing so. And in the city of Kiev, I don't know what it's like right now, but before we left, they had a park where they had three separate monuments to peace between Russia and Ukraine over the centuries. So they'd have a war, and then they'd have peace, and they put up a monument, and then, you know, later on there's another conflict, and then peace, and so I don't know what they're going to have in that park when I get back, but it's interesting that there's been this long conflict. So Russia invaded Ukraine, and Phyllis and I live about 10 miles from the airport, and it was about 4:30 in the morning, and we heard the first explosion. We first heard it, didn't know what it was, it just woke us up, and it wasn't that long after, and we had a second explosion that just shook the house, and they were attacking at the airport, and then, of course, we recognized quite soon that something very serious was happening, and we started getting phone calls, and so the country was at war, and the Lord was gracious and merciful to us, and we were able to get out of the country. And so the war has been going on. It's horrible. It's not so much in the news these days, but people are dying every day. The report I read yesterday said that Russia may be losing as many as 1,000 men a day. That's hard to imagine. And the destruction caused by the missiles, the bombs, and so on in the cities in Ukraine has been devastating. The millions of people have left Ukraine because of the conflict. And so probably more than 10% of the country has gone. And it's very difficult now. In some of the cities where they don't have fighting, things are almost like normal. But in other places, it's been tremendous devastation. Cities in the east are in very bad shape, some of them reduced to rubble. When you have that kind of destruction, businesses are gone, so people are out of work. In many cases, the Russians have targeted infrastructure, power plants, so people don't have electricity. Right now, it's winter time there. January is the coldest month of the year in Ukraine, and there are millions of people who have no heat, and it's very cold, very difficult. In many cases, because of the war, they don't have grocery stores, and it's hard for people to get supplies. So pray for Ukraine, for the people there. We'll talk about some of the ministries there. Our primary ministry there had been Word of God Bible College to train pastors, teachers, evangelists, and missionaries. That's been the focus of our work there for almost 25 years. Your pastor has been a big part. How many times have you been over there, Bob? 10, 15 times? Been there many times, and has taught and has a great input into the students' lives, into their ministries. And you can see next to your pastor is another young man that came out of this church. When he came, B3, I'm not going to call him B3, and I'm not going to call him Bob either, because then I'll get confused with his father, and so I called him Robert. And so he was one of our very best students. I was very proud of him. And I require students to memorize a lot of Bible verses. And Robert not only memorized them in English, he memorized them in Russian, which was double the work, but he did it, and I'm very proud of him. We have men who have been trained through the ministry of Word of God Bible College who have gone out and have planted their own churches or have started their own ministries around Ukraine. Now, we do have some missionaries from other countries. We've had people who have come from Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, from Russia, from Belarus, and they have come to study with us, and they have gone back to their home countries, and we have some missionaries who have gone from Ukraine to other countries, and so it's been a fruitful ministry. Now, the men who have planted mission works in Ukraine or started churches there, they are still there today, and I'm very proud of them. They are standing strong, standing firm, continuing to teach the Word of God, to preach the gospel. Some of them have ministries of going to the front lines to present the gospel to the military. And so the work has been productive. And so we also planted a church many years ago called Word of God Bible Church. And this has also proved to be a model for training men for ministry, how to do church. And we're trying to train men to become trainers of men. And so I've often said that the job of a missionary is to work himself out of a job. They don't need American pastors in Ukraine or in other countries. What we need are Ukrainian pastors in Ukraine. And so I've worked to train men to do the ministry themselves. And we had planted the Word of God Church in our apartment, actually, when we did evangelistic Bible studies there. And after a few years, I wanted to give this ministry away, and it was very hard because in that culture, once you get authority, you never give it up. You don't give up power. And they didn't believe that I wanted to actually step aside and let them do it. But I worked with the men, and finally we were able to, I was able to step aside as being pastor of the church. They still let me preach if I'm in town, and I enjoy that. But it's their church. It's a Ukrainian church with Ukrainian pastor and Ukrainian leaders, and it's their program. And I'm just really proud of what they have done. I thought you might like to see this picture with me and two pastors. The man on the right is pastor of a church that doesn't exist today because it's in a city called Lysychansk. It's been completely taken over by the Russians. And he had a very nice facility for his church, and the Russians decided that they would like to have that building, and so they just took it away from him. And most of the people from over there have fled. They've gone to Western Ukraine, or they've gone to European countries to escape the conflict. But you can see the sort of thing. This was just done by artillery fire, where it comes in and they'll destroy a building. Okay, Word of God Bible Church, training locals to do the work of the ministry. This is Oleg Lazinski and his wife. He is the pastor of the church. He's a graduate of our Bible college. And this man is just tireless. He does so much work. And since the war began and a number of pastors have left their churches, Oleg is teaching not only at Word of God Church, but he is also going and teaching in other churches around the area in Kyiv. And the church continues to meet live on Sundays. They don't have too many people anymore because so many people have fled, but the church still does meet. So they have maybe one-fourth of what we had before the war began. But they meet, and also, this is a church that believes in prayer. They meet every day online, and they are serious about praying. And Oleg has done a great job in leading them. So if you would remember to pray for Oleg. This is Vasily Munko, nicknamed Vasya. He's one of our early graduates. He's pastor of Grace Bible Church in Lviv. Lviv is a church in western Ukraine, not too far from the Polish border. And Vasya also has just been tireless. It's just about worn him out, all the work that he does, not only pastoring his church, but working with other ministries, working with refugees. So many have come there. So this used to be the church auditorium. It's been turned into a dormitory where they have these refugees come, and the refugees have nothing. Maybe they have a suitcase, maybe they have just a paper bag filled with clothes. They don't have much, and they come and they don't have jobs, they don't have money, they don't have a place to live, and the church will take them in and provide them a place to live, give them a hot shower, provide them meals, and also the washer and dryer runs about 24 hours a day with people that need to do laundry. You can imagine you've left your home and you've got the clothes on your back and maybe one change of clothes and you're traveling with children. And so this is one of the things that is being done by that church in Lviv. Vasya also works with the military and goes to give the gospel to people there. And there are several other pastors around the country who are focused on the ministry. Vasya has an uncle who's in the city of Irpin. You may recall the early days of the war, Irpin was attacked by the Russians. They did an incredible amount of damage in that city, and the horrors of war were seen very clearly there with the rape and the pillage and the torture and just senseless murder of so many people. And Vasya's uncle, Victor, is also one of the graduates of our Bible college. And the pastor of the church where he was ministering left, and Victor has just taken over and has just done a great job of teaching the people and ministering to the people in the city of Irpin. And we have others around the country who are just faithful, standing strong. So pray for Ukraine, but pray for these pastors. They're under tremendous pressure. They are really overworked. It's just really intense at this time. Also, the Lord has blessed us to be able to do ministry in other countries. And for many years, I have been going to the southern part of Africa. Down here is a country that's called Zambia. Zambia used to be called Northern Rhodesia. Right below it is Zimbabwe, which is Southern Rhodesia. And so I've been going here to Zambia for almost 25 years. I've also been in Zimbabwe and Malawi over there. And Zambia is a wonderful place. There are millions upon millions of Christians there. They have been evangelized very heavily for the last 150 years, but they haven't been taught Bible. And they are open to Bible teaching. They want the Word. It's very humbling to go there. Sometimes when I go to Zambia, I will teach 6 to 8 hours a day, which, of course, I love to do. But the amazing thing is these people will sit there for 6 to 8 hours a day and take it in. There was one time I went to this church out in the bush country, a small church, and they don't have air conditioning, they don't have electricity, they don't have windows, and they don't have comfortable chairs. Their chairs are logs about this big around that are up off the ground about 8 or 9 inches, and the people sit on those things. Very, very uncomfortable. And I'd been out there teaching, and I'd been teaching for I don't know, 2 or 3 hours, and it is hot and it is humid and I am soaking wet and I am just really tired. And I said, well, I think that's probably enough for today. And there was some guy on the fourth log back, and he said, is that all you know? So we took a break, and I drank a liter of water and came back, and we had a couple more hours of Bible teaching. They're hungry for it. But we don't have Bible teachers. So if any of you are looking for a ministry where people are hungry for the Word, you come and talk to me, and I'll plug you in. I'm looking for people that are willing to go with me to help teach, because it's very demanding to teach 6 or 8 hours a day. And just go with me and see what it's like. But I'm looking for people also who are willing to plant some roots and be missionaries. I think there's a tremendous opportunity in the country of Zambia. So we put on conferences for pastors. Sometimes we've had hundreds of men who will come for the Bible teaching. So I print up notes for them. Most of them don't have any study materials at all, so I provide study materials for them, and we get it printed, we pass it out to them. I'll teach through the material, and then I hope that they have seen then how to teach it, and they can go back and teach their churches. This is Charles Musonda. Charles, I'm so proud of him. He's a pastor. I've been working with Charles for about 15 years now. And Charles is just an outstanding Bible teacher. He's probably the best Bible teacher in all of Zambia, and he's dynamic. He's one of these people that gets your attention, and you just sit there spellbound. He has this incredible communication gift, and he is now being recognized. He is getting invitations from all over the country, not just in Zambia, but in surrounding countries as well. They want him to come and teach. They recognize, here's a man who has something to say. Here's a man who knows Bible. And so pray for Charles, and pray for Zambia, what's happening there. There is a lot happening spiritually in Zambia right now. It's a very poor country, but it's the only nation in the world whose constitution declares it to be a Christian nation. And they have made some really strong stands, the government has, against the United Nations and other people who have put pressure upon them. Oh, you're going to have to eliminate capital punishment. You're going to have to legitimize same-sex marriage and other things that there's pressure being put on a lot of these governments that we don't hear about. And Zambia said, no, we're not going to do that. We have said in our Constitution we're going to be guided by biblical principles, and we're not going to give in to that. And so they've had a series since their independence of five strong Christian men. The guy they've got now, he's a Christian, not too strong, but anyway, pray for Zambia. There's a lot happening right there, and I think it can really have a tremendous impact, but we've got to get Bible teachers in there. Thought you might like to see you talk about a church. Well, this is it. They wanted me to see their church. The pastor said, oh, I want you to come and see our church. Okay, so we drove out there, and that's it. And they've got sticks in the ground. They've got grass overhead to get you out of some of the sun on a Sunday morning. But they have hopes that, you know, little by little, they'll put up some walls and maybe get a real roof, because this doesn't do much in the rainy season. But that's the way it meets. So Bible conferences, as I said, and we get hundreds of people who will come out and sit and listen to the teaching of the Word of God. This is a picture I took in Kenya a couple of months ago when we were there. I taught a course at a Bible college, and it rained. And then it rained some more, and it rained again. And, oh, it was very difficult to get from where we were staying out to the Bible college because of the rain. And then the last day, we couldn't get there at all. Water was up over the bumper of the car. And you could see the cars ahead of us. The exhaust fumes were just bubbles coming up. And we finally got to the point that we couldn't go any further. There were three men on a motorcycle that came up, and they offered to push us across this deep place. I don't think so. So the thinking was, we might get across, but it's still raining, and we might never get back. So anyway, we had to cancel the last day of classes because of the rain. We had had a great time teaching there, but we just couldn't get out there the last day. And so I was pleased when we went to the airport in Mombasa that God gave me a sign that it was going to be okay. So you can see. Also, this was this is on the Indian Ocean. So I don't know. I've never seen a camel on the beach before. Also, for many years, I've been going to Brazil. Now, Brazil is the largest Catholic country in the world. More Catholics in Brazil than anywhere else. But it was interesting me, I guess it was three popes ago, the pope said, we need to get the evangelicals out of Brazil. The reason why, too many people getting saved. And going back to the 30s and the 40s, the Brethren, Plymouth Brethren, they sent in missionaries, and in the space of about 20 years, they planted more than 800 churches. You think it's not a fertile ground? It is. They went in there, had tremendous response to the gospel, and so there are churches all over the country now, and other evangelicals came in, and so the gospel has spread. A lot of people are being saved. And we've been going there, and the people there are hungry for the word. So how long were we there that last trip? We were there almost 4 weeks, 3 weeks, where I was teaching every day. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Thank you. I just want to know how long we were there. Yes, we were there for 3 weeks teaching every day. And sometimes on the weekends, you might teach 8 hours a day. And the people there are just so positive toward the teaching of the Word of God. And then we went back again here a few weeks ago and taught in the northern part of the country. Again, we had good reception. Well, they wanted us to come back to the southern part of the country again to teach in March. And I said, okay, I can give you 2 weeks. And the man said, 2 weeks will not be adequate to meet our needs. They want more. So maybe some of you would like to go on a mission trip and do some teaching in a place where people are really open to the Word of God. So we're going back again in March, and we'll be gone about 3 weeks. So this is just one of the churches that, you know, they pack them in, and they come and love the Word of God. Another place where we have gone, this is result of the ministry of Mark Musser, and that's the country of Armenia, which is down here. So here's Turkey, up here's Ukraine, here's the country of Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan. Armenia, one of the very earliest Christian nations, if you will. Christianity there goes back to about the 3rd century. They already had churches and monasteries around that country. Now they have evolved to a kind of a strange form of Christianity that we don't recognize, but there are evangelical churches there. And the people there also are teachable. They'll sit and listen to the Word of God. Armenia has been under attack. There was a genocide. The Turks tried to destroy them as a people about 100 years ago. It was a horrible thing. And right now they are under attack by Azerbaijan. Ongoing conflict there. Russia also is the people of Armenia. And so they've faced a lot of conflict. But we've been able to do ministry there. And that's the wrong map. This is a memorial to the genocide that was attempted by the Turks back around about 100 years ago. And this is a church in Yerevan, which is the capital city. Oh, from Yerevan, very interesting, you can see Mount Ararat, which is a huge mountain. You don't realize how big that mountain is till you get up closer to it. But there's a church there, and we have the children. Now, I love seeing the children up here. Isn't that wonderful? That's our future. I encourage people to memorize Scripture wherever I go. I think that's fundamental. We need to be doing that. And so in this church, they started teaching children Bible verses. And now every Sunday, as part of their service, they bring all the children up front, and then the children will recite a Bible verse. If they recite a Bible verse, then they let them dip into a bowl of candy and pull one out. But a little motivation there. But the thing is, every Sunday, these children will come up front and they will recite a Bible verse. And I think that's good. The children now have a part in the worship service, but also they're learning the Word of God. So remember Armenia. We have two men here. One is on the left is Denise. We would call him Dennis. They pronounce it Denise there. Denise Shamrov. He is Belarusian by birth, from the country of Belarus. Studied with us in Word of God Bible College. He's now living in Poland. He's being sought out by the authorities in Belarus because they want to draft him and put him into the military, but he doesn't want to fight against Ukraine. So right now he's in Poland, but he's doing ministry there. He's got a job, but his focus is on doing ministry. The man in the middle, he's also a pastor, Martin Muka. And here's a man who is doctrinally oriented, dispensational in his approach, good Bible teacher, got a sharp theological mind. And I was really pleased to make contact with him. We've been to Poland. We've done conferences and churches there, and we will go back this May and do a conference with him there. But I want to say about Denise and his wife, Albina, this man, in my opinion, is the best student I've ever had at our Bible college. He is just hungry for the Word. He just digs in. He's got this self-motivation. He is just motivated to learn the Word of God, and he loves to teach it, and he is very effective in teaching the Word of God. So he went to Poland. Now he's learned 3 languages. people over there do it. I am very envious. Got to Poland, didn't speak Polish. Sat down and studied Polish. Why? So he can teach in Polish. And so he has worked at it, and now he's teaching in Polish. I'm just so proud of him. And he's found a church where he's been able to teach on a regular basis. And also, he has just recently started doing podcasts from his home. And his first focus was to give a grace gospel. And the first course he's going to teach is on soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation, and all the related doctrines for redemption, propitiation, imputation, justification, and so on. It's his desire to teach a free grace gospel, but he's very oriented to teaching the Word of God. He's facing problems right now with documents. His Belarusian passport is going to expire, and he cannot get it renewed. So he's going to be an alien in a foreign country without a passport, which is a tremendous problem over there. So you might pray for Denise and his family that he can get documents, find asylum in some country, but most of all that he can continue to study the Word of God. So he's also studying English so that he can watch people online and have access to theological works in English. Okay. Romania. When Phyllis and I were extracted from Ukraine at the beginning of the war, we went to Romania, which borders Ukraine. And there we were met by a pastor by the name of Alex Lazurka. They didn't know us from anybody, but they had had contact through a man who had been to Romania years and years ago. And so this man, a pastor up in Pennsylvania, made contact with Alex there in Romania and said, "Hey, we've got these Americans that are coming through. Can you meet them at the border?" Which he did. And we went to this house, and they put on a breakfast for us, an incredible spread. We spoke no Romanian. They spoke no English. But we were family of God. We were brothers and sisters in Christ, and they just treated us like royalty. And it was just an amazing experience. And so we were there for a couple of hours, and then we went on to Bucharest to get a flight to America. But here is Alex, and he is a pastor, but not of our orientation. And a man not well taught, but a man who loves the Lord and loves the Word. And he really got interested in what we were saying. And so he has started studying. And the Scriptures have just opened up to him. And so I will be going with Robbie Dean next May. After we do a conference in Poland, we're going to go to Romania and have a conference at his house or at his church. And really looking forward to getting back and spending some time with him. Okay, Turkey. It's in the news right now quite a bit. Turkey, very ancient country. This is where the Apostle Paul did his first two missionary journeys. This is where the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3 are located. That's all in Turkey. Turkey today is a Muslim country. It's a liberal Muslim country, but it is still Muslim, and it is growing more and more intense. The leaders of Islam are trying to impose more and more Sharia law, take over more things. So Here is Alex Rabchenko, or Sasha is his nickname. Sasha is Ukrainian, graduate of our Bible college. And Sasha is an evangelist. He's one of these dynamic people that just can talk to any stranger and engage them in a conversation. Just one of these really likable people. And so he has gone to Turkey with his family as missionaries. And it was through his ministry that Elvira Bolander came to know Jesus as Savior. So this is Sasha, and he's down there faithful, working with people, wanting to get out the gospel. And he has, through the people that he's brought to faith in Christ, they've formed a small church. It meets in his home. Well, you have a problem. This is a Muslim country. And he has this church meeting in his home. And the note that I got just last week, where agents have visited his church. Okay, you've got the spies. You've got the Turkish KGB, whatever they call them. Now they've come to his church. We're talking serious business here, folks. Please pray for Alex, for his safety, for wisdom, discernment, and for his ministry. The Lord would keep that door open. Some prayer items. Pray for victory in Ukraine. Pray for the pastors. We only mentioned a few. Pray for the church in Ukraine, that it's going to stand strong. It's going to continue to be a lighthouse. That it's going to continue to focus on serving God during this difficult time. And pray for us as we continue. We've had the privilege of going to many places to take the Word of God. We were in 10 countries in 2023, and we've got 9 on the calendar for this year. It's not that we're taking a lot of vacations. We're going to places where there's a hunger for the Word, where we have an open door. And so for us, it's just been a matter of saying yes to invitations. And it can be exhausting, but it's so rewarding. And the Lord has just opened up these opportunities for us. And so we'd ask you to pray for safety, for our health, and for our support. We thank you for what you've done. So, where will we go? This is the southernmost city in the world, called Ushuaia, the very southern tip of South America. You can't go any further south in the world where there's a city. Now, I had long had the idea that I'd like to go to Antarctica, and so we were halfway there when we were in Brazil this time, and so I said, if we're going to do it, let's do it. So we did. So we went down to Ushuaia, and you can see right above my head there, it says, yeah, you're here. It's the end of the world. And in fact, right down the street from this place was a museum. It's called the End of the World Museum. So and so from there, we did go to Antarctica. And in Antarctica, I was able to give the gospel to some people on the ship with us. And so now I can say I have preached the gospel on every continent, which is a great blessing. It's a great privilege. And so we'll go where the Lord calls us and where the Lord opens the door. So who are we? Well, we're missionaries at large. Our home is in Ukraine. We have a home there, but right now we can't live there. So we're at large, and the Lord is blessing us and make it. And you make it possible for us to do what we do. So I say thank you. We salute you for your grace, for your faithfulness. So we have questions, or
yes, if we have questions, we can bring the microphone around to you.
I'm one of the Americans that's geographically limited. Where's Kiev in Ukraine?
All right. Good question. I'm going to put up that first map, or one of these maps. Let me find it. Yeah, this one should. Let's see if that one will do it. No, let me go on up. Okay. Ukraine, here, Kiev is right up here. It's in the north. It's about right in that area.
Okay.
Haven't had as much war in Kiev. It began there, the very first days of the war. Russia came down from Belarus, and they also flew in from here, but they came down from Belarus, and the first place they went were to two cities. One is called Irpin. I mentioned that earlier. That's just on the north side of Kiev. It's a northern suburb. And another city up there called Bucha. And the Russians came, and from there they were just going to go into the city of Kiev and take things over. But the Ukrainians blew up the bridges. There are bridges that go from Irpin into Kiev. So they blew up the bridges to halt the advance of the Russian army. But as far as fighting in the streets, in Kiev, no, they've been spared to this point. But just last weekend, Russia sent in more than 100 missiles in a, I don't know, 10 or 12 hour period of time. They just, Oleg, the pastor there, I talked to him, he said it was just horror that you just keep hearing these bombs exploding and you don't know what's going to happen. So they've had a lot of destruction to the infrastructure, power plants, and that sort of thing. But as far as fighting in Kiev, no. Same in Lviv, where Vasya is. They haven't had fighting there, but they've had a lot of missiles. And I talked to Vasya just on Friday, and he was talking about these cruise missiles, and he said he watched one went right over his house, and I said, what did it sound like? And he said, well, it was like an airplane, but not that loud. But I think it's hard for us to imagine the terror of having explosions that are close and that you can hear and maybe feel, and to see missiles going over that you can watch. Yeah.
Is that also the case in Zhytomyr with Igor?
Zhytomyr is a city that's about 2 hours just directly west of Kiev. Let me see if I can find another map here. Maybe one of these will have it on there. No, it doesn't. Okay. Zhytomyr, this is where Igor, another one of our pastors that we've trained, is living and ministering. So up here is Kiev, right up there, and then just go west a couple hours. You've got the city of Zhytomyr. That has also been the target of missiles. That's because they have military in that area.
We've actually had Igor here. Igor and Yulia visited us here a year ago.
Okay. So. Yeah, so they just put out some new regulations just in the last 3 days. Igor, because he's a pastor and because of the ministry that he's been doing, has been able to actually go out of the country and then come back into the country. That's why he was able to come here. He had permission to actually leave. And Vasya, down in Lviv, close to the Polish border, he also had permission. One, because he's a pastor. Two, he was working with Samaritan's Purse and some other Christian organizations. But now they have rescinded all passes. Except they said they'll make a few exceptions. But otherwise, nobody can leave the country. And they have also put a 30-mile perimeter around the Ukrainian border that unless you live within that perimeter, you can't go beyond a certain point because, well, too many people were leaving the country. But the men absolutely now cannot leave the country. And they have just declared that all men are eligible for the draft. So Russia just announced that they're going to conscript 400,000 men in the next couple of months, and so they're thinking there's going to be a big push this spring. Mm-hmm. Don't know. But anyway, it's things are not looking good for Ukraine right now. It's
A lot of those are men in their 50s and 60s that have... Most of their soldiering days should be behind them.
Yes.
All right, do we have any final questions? We do. Okay. We have more over here, too? Oh, excellent. It's a short one, but we still need you on the microphone.
What initially led you to Ukraine?
We'd long had an interest in the Soviet Union. We'd had some people come to my church when I was pastoring here in the States who talked about what was going on behind the Iron Curtain, how the church there was suffering, how they did not have access to Bibles or Bible teaching. There was only one seminary in the entire Soviet Union. And so we'd had an interest in spiritual life in the Soviet Union. And so when the Berlin Wall came down and then finally the Communist Party went broke and they broke up the Soviet Union, this opened things for people from the West to go there. And so a man said that he was going to start a Bible school in Belarus and asked if I would help him. And I said, well, if the Lord provides for us to go, then we'll go. And so it was just because we'd had this interest in the Soviet Union and we'd been praying for people in that part of the world. And so we had opportunity to go. So we packed our bags and we went. And that was 30 years ago.
It's just so wonderful to hear the positiveness towards doctrine and the hungriness in Africa and Brazil and various and sundry other countries. And the pastor who actually was able to pick up the languages, the three languages, so readily. My question is, when you find yourselves in situations like Romania, where, you know, you don't speak the language, is there oftentimes readily available maybe a translator so you can delve deeper into fellowship with these?
We are entirely dependent on translators. It can be frightening to be in a foreign country when you don't have an interpreter, where you can't read the alphabet, where you don't know any of the language at all. It can be frightening. So where we go, I always have interpreters. And it's interesting, in Zambia, they have 72 languages in that nation, 5 major languages, and the rest are tribal languages. But even Charles, whose picture you saw, If we go to different parts of the country, he needs an interpreter. Okay, so we have to have interpreters.
What are your requirements for a mission trip, and do you provide training?
That's not an easy question. If someone wants to go on a mission trip, okay, I'm not interested in people that want a vacation. I want people that want to go and do ministry. And so they would need to be able to teach. And have I provided training? Not really. I can provide some orientation about the culture and the things that a person would face, but I want people that can teach, and so I can provide the doctrinal material that will be covered so that you can be ready to teach that. But then the requirements to go, you've got to be able to just stand up to the rigors of the travel, first of all, to get there. And then most places we go, it's not too primitive, although I got a request to go to Uganda, and the man said, conditions are primitive, so Phyllis will not go with me on that because I've seen primitive in Africa. But usually it's not terribly uncomfortable. Some places in Zambia we go, there's no electricity or no running water, but you know, you just deal with that. It's not too bad anyway. If you want to teach and are able to teach, then that's what I'm looking for.
Would you close us in prayer?
All right. Father in heaven, it's amazing that you want to work through us, because we know that we are incapable in and of ourselves, without ability. And yet you have qualified us for ministry. You've given us spiritual gifts. You've given us your Holy Spirit. We have your word. And so we have everything that we need to be able to fulfill your purpose. And I thank you that we have this high privilege of being ambassadors for Christ. And I pray that each one of us might seek to fulfill that ministry, that we would be faithful where we are, knowing that we have been called to this and that you want to use us to be lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I thank you that we still have freedom in this country, freedom to assemble, freedom to proclaim Jesus as the only Savior, the only answer to man's problems. We see these things coming under attack. We don't know how long we're going to have the freedom to do what we've been doing, but while we do, I pray that we will take advantage of that. And if things become difficult for us as believers in Jesus, may your word be the iron in the soul. May it be the anchor for the soul, that we might stand firm in the evil day. Father, I thank you so much for this church, for its testimony, for the pastor who's faithful in teaching, for the men who are preparing for ministry, for this faithful flock that prays, that ministers. Pray that you'll continue to work in them and through them. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be high and lifted up through this congregation. May you be glorified through your children here. So we give thanks for all of this grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.